You're slurring a bit there, mate. Have you been on the pod?
Oh, well, no, my teeth were slipping.
Well, all two of them.
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Brilliant.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. You can listen to a new episode of the podcast every Friday from 5 p.m. My name is Darren Cullum, and I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. This is PGMOL Observer and Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator, Richard Mellon. Rich, as always, a pleasure to be in your company. But the trouble is, we're not in each other's company as such. We're virtual once again.
Yeah, virtual. But, I'm sat here in front of the laptop and talking to you on the podcast. And I've realised only a week or so from the clocks going forward and the night's getting brighter.
So just to give a sense of day and time, the date is the 16th of March. It's now about 7:30 in the evening, and it has been a beautiful evening. I'm based in Taunton in Somerset, and Rich is based in Bridgewater. Now, we're both respectively doing it from home. I'm not in the studio like I normally would be tonight. So please, apologies now accepted if any of my kids come running in halfway through the recording to say, "Good night, Daddy," or to hurl some abuse at me, because that is very likely to happen.
Well, I'll hurl the abuse, Dan.
Of course you will. You're slurring a bit there, mate. Have you been on the pod?
Oh, well, no, my teeth were slipping.
Well, all two of them?
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Brilliant. Right, okay, so thanks very much to you if you're a new listener to the podcast. Just to give you some idea now, we've been monitoring the stats quite closely over the last 3 months or so. And at the moment, we're managing to get around 200 or 300 a day people logging on, downloading and listening to the podcast. So we'd just like to say a big thank you. The stats are provided to us by Google Feedburner, so we've got no reason to disbelieve what they're telling us. And I think that's a fairly good result since we relaunched back in October last year.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
As we've already said, the idea of this podcast compared to other podcasts in the market is that we like to offer education and training as opposed to perhaps discussing incidents which have happened on the TV the week before or particularly any other games of a high-profile nature. And with that in mind, that doesn't mean to say we're sort of knocking what the other guys do. We're just offering something different, Rich. What we want to do is to sort of go back to basics here. And obviously, we're a couple of weeks away from certain restrictions being lifted, allowing us to get back into grassroots football. So what we thought we'd do is, as I've said, go back to basics and let's start talking about some of the things that we're going to need to take out onto the field of play if we are going to be going out to play football in a few weeks' time, Rich.
Yeah, as regards taking stuff out onto the field of play, I think everybody's familiar with that, aren't they? We keep it in a little box, put it in our bag. But the important things to take out in the field of play, for me, ready for the restart, is pre-match instructions. You know, it's been quite a while since we've delivered pre-match instructions to an assistant referee or club assistant referee. And so consequently, I think we should cover that angle.
OK, so you being the observer, me being the referee that is applying for promotion, should we go with club linesman as opposed to neutral?
And I'll be the referee friend.
Okay, friend. Right, okay, so go on then, Rich, you can set the scene.
Okay, we're going to say it's a nice spring day because it's going to be round about middle of April. We've got a Saturday fixture, 2:30 kickoff, might even be 3:00, who knows. But get out onto the field of play, 2:45, you've done a little warm-up, you want to do some pre-match instructions. Why do you wait until 3 minutes before kickoff to call the assistant referees in to give them a briefing? Why not do it at about 2:50 when it's a little bit more calmer, a bit more casual, and you can call them in and just ask, say, "Hey guys, who's running the line today?" So, you know, you get someone, "Yeah, I'll do it," and then you walk across the other side of the field of play. You're basically introducing yourself without actually saying, "Hi, I'm Richard Mellon," type of thing.
I was going to say, it's a really good icebreaker. I tend to do what you've just described at around 2:45, 2:50, basically go over to both the teams and say, "All right, gents, hello. Have you got yourself a lino sorted?" "Yeah, okay, brilliant." Or when I call to get the captains in just before the start of the game, if you could come over as well. And then that way, it's like a nice little icebreaker.
Yeah. There are some of our colleagues that will do a pre-match brief to the assistant referees in front of the captains.
Yeah, that's when I do mine.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the idea. You know, it's just that you will need a little bit more time before kickoff to actually get that all in. Pre-match instructions, how long will they take? Couple of minutes with club linesmen, isn't it? You know,
but yeah, I was going to say,
a little bit longer with neutrals. Probably about 8 minutes is the recommended time for the neutral assistant referees. But club assistant referees, how much do they actually need? You know, what do you need to tell them? How do you need to keep the game in control, but by three people? With you making the ultimate decision as referee.
So if I was going to be in this situation, should we go through the process?
Oh, I was going to say, would you like to use me as your assistant referee, club assistant referee, and tell me what you want from me on this occasion?
Bit of role play then, Rich.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Are you going to be fit enough to keep up with my level of pace?
Don't go there. You know. Yeah, it's true. It's true, but you didn't have to say it.
With your false teeth that are rattling around. Okay, so timing-wise, I would be looking at around sort of 4 minutes to 3. I would go to the centre circle. I'd have the match ball with me, which I would have already sourced anyway. And then I'll blow my whistle and call the captains. And I'll shout, captains to the centre circle, please. And could you please bring your linos?
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Why would you blow the whistle and then say captains? Doesn't blowing the whistle call the captains?
Well, I tend to blow the whistle and then just shout it as well because, and obviously I'm shouting to bring your linos with you, even though I've already told them, some people do have a very short attention span, myself included.
Yeah, definitely.
So okay. I'm just reiterating what I've already discussed with them sort of 5-10 minutes previous.
Yeah, what I'd like our listeners to understand here, that it's a pre-match that suits the individual, you, the referee,
yeah.
Whoever that referee is that's listening on this podcast. So we're going to talk about Darren's way of how he does his pre-match instructions, when he does it and when he delivers it, et cetera, et cetera. But everybody will have their own little way of dealing with it. And, you know, it's about exploring the best situation for each referee.
OK, so the four guys are here in the centre circle. I'm just painting the picture now. So what I would do is I would say, good afternoon, gents. My name's Darren. Thanks very much for offering your services today, so to speak, on the line. Then we do the elbow, that kind of thing. So obviously not allowed to shake hands, blah, blah, so on and so forth. So what I would do, first of all, is say, look, gents, before we do the toss, I'd just like to speak to my two assistant referees so that we're all singing from the same hymn sheet, so to speak. And I would then say to them, look, we are on a local parks game football here. I don't want to be too intense with this. So all I'm going to ask you for is to give me ins and outs, okay? Run down the line, give me the offsides with your offsides. Please wait until you're absolutely sure. I would much rather have a 2-second, 3-second at the most delay, but a correct flag as opposed to a flag going up before I've even blown the whistle. I would also say to them, when you do put your flag up, whether it be for a throw-in or whether you put it up for an offside decision, put your flag up and hold it up. If you don't hold it up, then I may not see it, because some people that are not experienced enough often have this tendency to sort of just feebly put the flag up and then put it down again. And to me, I won't know if that is a decision you're calling. I would also ask for the corners. With the offsides, I will run with it as much as I can, just so that I can just make sure that we're both agreeing with the same decision. And I would also say that I may overrule you. If I feel that I'm in a better position, and because you're not a neutral assistant, I may overrule you. If you've got any problems, please give me a shout, and I'll come over and talk to you when the time is right. And if you change over, i.e. you swap with another team member because you're coming onto the field of play, please let me know as well so I can do a quick briefing with the new person that's coming on. Are you happy with that, gents? Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Have a good game. If you could take your positions, and then I would do the bit with the captains.
Okay, that's quite a simple way of delivering pre-match instructions.
That was quite difficult actually, because normally, because I'm sat in here wearing my pajama bottoms and a t-shirt, right? And the environment is very different, so I had to think about how I was doing that, but effectively that's the kind of
visualize what you do on the field of play.
But effectively that's kind of the route that I would take.
Well, the thing I would like to say is visualize what you do on the field of play for something as simple as delivering pre-match instructions. Visualize what you think you look like when you're delivering a sanction or admonishment. You know, visualize a lot of stuff, you know, before you get out onto the field of play. Think about how it looks. Delivering a situation is important for the profile of the individual referee.
I've so, just remembered know, as well, I've forgotten to add into that what else I would say.
Darren, we've kicked off.
Oh, you know? Right. Okay. Yeah, okay.
It's too late. It's 2 minutes past three. Unlucky.
Good point.
Yeah. You know, it's what would you normally do? Do you carry a card, Darren, when you deliver your pre-match instructions?
I would do if I was with neutral referees. Club linesmen, no, because my specifics are not as specific, because the majority of club linesmen probably wouldn't have had the experience as a referee. So I don't want to overcomplicate it, because if you do that, a lot of them, in some scenarios, are hungover from the night before anyway, because you can smell the alcohol in their breath. Some of them are just doing it because they have to, because there's nobody else there, and blatantly their body language suggests that they're not interested in doing it at all. So I just don't see the point in giving them too much to sort of fester about. You know, I will ultimately take control of the game in the way that I feel necessary. Can I just add that little bit that I forgot to mention as well?
Yeah, go on, sorry. Yeah.
I would also say to them, please don't give me free kicks. I will decide on the free kicks.
Okay, I've got that listed down here. You've given some, you know, some good guidance to the club assistant referees. My experience of club linesmen, they can vary, and they can be such a wide variance that some aren't, they don't hesitate to get the flag up for what they think is a foul, whereas others will allow you to make that decision. So consequently, I agree with you. Mm. Don't give the request to indicate for fouls to the club assistant referees. It can be unreliable.
Yeah. Can I just say as well, there are some, because there may be somebody listening to this who does play football, but chooses to listen to the podcast just to find out what we do and how we do it. There are some club linesmen that are absolutely brilliant, you know, and I, at the end of a game, we'll go up to them when they've done a good job, or what I think has been a good job. I'll go up to them and say, mate, thank you very much. You have been brilliant. Are you free to come with me on every other game this season? it creates a bit of banter, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Breaks down those barriers, you know, because you'll go back there, say, 3 or 4 weeks' time, if it's a local team that you referee, say, 3 or 4 times a season, you know, you'll go back there and you'll see that person again.
Yeah.
You know, it creates a good rapport, you know, you're running the line for me today. Look forward to that. Thanks very much. Yeah. You know, all sorts of little things come into consideration. I mean, when you started with your introduction, hi, I'm Darren, I would have said, hi, I'm Richard. But you can call me ref if you want.
Yeah? Right, okay.
Don't call me anything else, because if you call me anything else, I might take, umbrage to it. You know, there's all sorts of little bits and pieces that you can put in there. But what I would say, at the time when you called in the assistant referees with the captains, is be careful not to take too long with the captains there, because the captains are almost straining at the leash to get started.
Yeah.
So, you know, too much information in front of the captains could become white noise, and it may be, become irrelevant, whatever you say to the the club linesman, sorry. So consequently, you know, keep it brief, keep it sharp, and deliver it very quickly. What do you want from them on offsides? You know, you've covered that. You've distinguished that you want the flag up so that you can see the flag is raised, and then you can make a decision on what he's thinking and where the play is and who received the ball. And probably if you can identify the position of the player to be onside and the flag goes up, you can give a signal, thank you very much, not on this occasion. Mm. You know, there's options that are in there. So it's down to the individual how they control it. And offsides, ball in and out of play, are the key things for club assistant referees. Fouls, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't ask them to be involved with that, but we may mention that. Misconduct behind your back. That is difficult for some referees locally when they've got club assistants, because he might come up to you at half-time and say, ref, I saw the number three punch the number seven. And you could turn around and say, oh, I wish I'd seen that. Right, okay. I wish you'd told me that at the time, because you can take the word of a club assistant referee if he's willing to back up what he said to you that he saw that was violent conduct, and you report it, you send off the player for the punch, and he is willing to submit a report and say, I advise the referee that I saw number three punch number seven.
I would only take the word of somebody as a club linesman after knowing their capabilities after about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Most of the time, I would say, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't see it. I can't action it. And I just feel that if I did do something about it, I might be opening up a can of worms because they're not an official, let's say, FA registered referee.
No, they're not. But, you know, from experience, and like I say, I've missed stuff behind my back. When things have happened and you think, well, what's going on there? You know, somebody, you know, the number eight's on the ground and the number nine's walking away, you know, quite sheepishly, but you haven't got any evidence. And all of a sudden, the assistant referee, club assistant referee said, number nine punched number eight, kick number eight, you know.
And so in that situation then, Rich, is it worth saying as part of your pre-match, look, I'm only going to deal with serious incidences that I see?
You could say that. Me personally, from my experience, I was always willing, 99% of the time, to take the word of the club assistant referee. If he told me he saw a sending off offence, describe the sending off offence to me, who did what, and then I'll make a decision from it. If I'm not going to send off, I'll thank you for your information, and we'll let play continue from there with whatever it was, throw in, goal kick or free kick, if that's the case.
Because so the likelihood is, if number four and number nine, okay, have been at each other behind your back, right, and you miss the punch, the likelihood is it's going to happen again at some point. So at that point, you've been advised that this happens, so you can then spend a bit more time concentrating on how those two deal with each other, let's say.
Okay, let me say to you, yeah, they've been, number four and number nine have been niggling at each other all the game. You know something's been going on. You missed the first altercation, and it was number four giving him a little rabbit punch in the back of the ribs, in the side of the ribs. And then, whilst you missed that, and you didn't take any action, a couple of minutes later, number nine really lets the number four have a bad tackle and, you know, serious foul play, and you send him off. You know, the balance is then non-existent. There is no balance to that, because referee, why didn't you take action when this club assistant referee gave you the information of what number four did? You know, and you wouldn't have had that number nine's reaction a few minutes later against the number four, because you've already dismissed or taken the appropriate action to deal with number four. So there's lots of things to consider out there. It is all about awareness. Like I say, it's a challenge, we know, refereeing, but it's such an enjoyable challenge.
So just going back to my pre-match then, is there anything else that you would like to highlight?
No. Do you take your own flags?
Yeah, take my own flags, but now because of the COVID situation, I offer, and I do have them cleaned, but I do say, if you have your own flags and you would prefer to have your own flags, that's fine, but mine are there to use if you want to.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't give a set of buzzer flags to club assistant referees.
I haven't got any.
You know, I mean, we've all got to learn how to use buzzer flags as registered, qualified referees, let alone give them to a club assistant. You know, he'll think it a nice little toy and he'll start hacking it, you know, around on the ground, and that ain't no good. That's a £250 set of flags damaged. Just give them a nice cheap set to do the job. Present them in a nice clean manner. Yeah. That would be my recommendation.
Anything else I've missed? Anything else you want to highlight?
No, not on this occasion. Do you talk about position for corner kicks?
Not to a club assistant referee, no.
Okay. Do you talk about position to indicate offside?
Not really, no, because it's like I was saying earlier, I tend to try not to fill them with white noise and loads of information because most of the time, you know, they haven't got a clue about the laws of the game anyway.
My only point would be, Darren, when you're talking to club assistant referees, and we've mentioned there are some good ones, you might get a pair of really good assistant referees. Equally, you might get a pair of, station porters putting the flag up every 2 minutes. If they're not in the right position to indicate
station
offside,
porters.
but they put up the flag, what would you do?
Well, this is why I say to them at the beginning during the pre-match, and say, look, if I feel as though I can see the situation better, then I may overrule it. And if I look across and see they're way, way behind the play, and the chances are the defending team are going to pick that out straight away. Come on, ref, how can you give that as an offside? He's, you know what I mean?
Let's break it down. Who's responsible for decision making on the field of play?
Me.
Okay. Who's responsible for indicating offside?
The assistant referee. Is that your doorbell going?
No, not my doorbell.
The assistant referee, technically, but in a game at local level with club assistant referees, I think I would put my hand up and say I would be the person that ultimately gives the decision or not.
Oh, you are really going to put yourself in a cul-de-sac if you're not careful, because okay. We've got a very, very busy game. Division 1, Division 2, top of the table, near the end of the season. They're both challenging each other in a strong way. It's not overly aggressive, but you've got assistant referees who know what they want to do to get a result. And they may not be in the right position, but they may be willing to put the flag up 10 yards out of position and try and give you the offside flag. What can you do to stop that? What will you do as regards the decision? Because everybody will be influenced by the assistant referee putting that flag up, whether he's right or wrong. And if he's 10 yards out of position, I'll tell you, I think he's wrong. That would be my guess. So it presents you a challenge, which you are trying to control offsides as a referee. Very, very difficult. And I would say avoid that, because you're not there to be in line for offsides at one end and then 10 seconds later in line with offsides at the other end. Impossible.
OK, mate. Right, before we go, we need to mention next week's guest. We're going to be speaking to a chap next week. And as we mentioned previously, we have so many great guests on this podcast, and all of which are inspirational in their own way. And next week's guest, or the next episode's guest, is truly an inspiration when you consider his background, what he's been through, and where he is now, without giving away too much, Rich.
Yeah, I'd dearly love to give away loads of background.
Save it till next week.
I met our guest that's coming on next week. I met him 2/3 weeks ago when I invited myself to the West Devon RA meeting online.
You're such a gatecrasher, aren't you?
I know. I saw some posts on social media from Tom Anstis Mitchell about their meeting, and it looked interesting, just the fact that it was a group of referees just going to have a chat, but it was an RA meeting. I said to him, I said, Tom, could I come along to meet? He said, you're more than welcome, Rich. And that was it. I sat in with the meeting with a dozen lads. We have a little bit of chat, a little bit of RA biz. And then I met this man, this young lad, sorry. He is a man as well, but he's a youngster. He's half my age. And I have to say that I got a wow from it.
And to get a wow from Richard Mellon is something that is very far a few between. And I've known you for 12 years or so, and I've never had a wow. Or apart from a wow, that was shit.
I might have done that, Darren. I can't remember.
Well, okay, so that's all to come, as I've already mentioned.
Can I just ask one question before we close?
Go on.
How about we get on the podcast a FIFA guest?
A FIFA guest, as in, what, FIFA referee or somebody?
Referee. FIFA referee, now consultant. He's retired from active refereeing, but he's a FIFA consultant, and he's a bona fide tutor for FIFA.
Yeah, I think that's a tick in my box, mate. Get that one sorted. I'll leave that one to you.
I'll make the approach, and we'll see if we can get him on in a couple of weeks' time.
And indeed, if you are listening at the moment and you think, well, actually, I'd like to be a guest on the Referees World podcast, we are always looking for guests. We are always looking for inspirational speakers. It may be that you know somebody that is worthy of coming on to tell their story. Then it doesn't matter what level of referee you are, how good you are as a referee, or how bad you are. We would just love to talk to you, because we can all learn from each other's experiences here on the Referees World podcast.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.